Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 43. It's June 29th, 2020. And so I realized the worst thing that happened to me is I lost myself. I never had myself. I never found myself. I had no self-esteem. So I knew through working out and through learning, it took me a lot for me to learn also. I started finding self-esteem. And once I found that, that's when doors started opening up. I stopped caring about people, what they thought, being judged. If I say this, if I stutter right now, are you going to make fun of me? I stopped caring about that. And that's when my life started really changing for me, slowly but surely. That's such an important point when you talk about the working out. A lot of people, when they think about working out, they think of it as being a physical thing. Right. No, I did it for mental. People always say, my God, no, don't look at it like that. I didn't care about losing weight. I didn't care about being the fastest person. I wasn't making the Olympics. I wasn't going to the pros. I could barely read and write when I was a junior in high school. I wasn't going anywhere. I saw working out as a way for me to build calluses on my mind. I had to callus over the victim's mentality. So I watched these movies, you know. I talked about Rocky last time I was on here. I always equated training to mental toughening. It always looked brutal. People waking up early and doing all these things, it looked horrible. I was like, wow, man, I've got to start doing that. Not to get better, bigger, and stronger, but that's what's going to build me. That looks uncomfortable. That looks brutal. And getting up early, I don't want to do that. So I made this long list of things I don't want to do. And through that, I found myself. I'm like, you guys aren't doing this in high school. You guys aren't getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, running over here in this golf course. So I started seeing myself very differently than the average human being. I was like, hang on a second. I have something that they don't have. And that's when I started to develop these things through working out. It was this great, never-ending work ethic. And through work ethic, I developed self-esteem. Now, is this something that you learned? Is this something you learned yourself from exercise yourself? Or is this something that you read or heard about? What made you equate this, doing these difficult things physically to mental toughness, to being, this is the discipline that you need to get your life out of the situation that you're in? So I never read anything. I could barely read, you know, so I wasn't reading back then. I watched a lot of movies, and I was really big into visualization, and I always equated working out to struggle. And I struggled my whole life, but I ran from it. So I started realizing that I got to start facing the struggle, and I got to be mentally strong for the struggle. That's where I started coming up with, like, I'm training for life. Mentally, I'm training for life. I'm not training for, like, to lift 400 pounds, and I found out on my own, pretty much, it's through this discipline, through self-discipline, through repetition, through tons of repetition of the same thing that you don't want to do. And that's the key thing. Through repetition of the things you don't want to do, you develop mental armor for your mind. You start to armor your mind. Because your mind's like, okay, we suffer. We suffer every day. It's what we do. We do stuff that sucks every day. So when the suck stuff comes, you're ready for it. And that's how it started coming up. I started being very uncomfortable. Now it's almost like a way of life. So hopefully that made sense. I'm reading both parts here. This is from one of the interviews when David Goggins sat with Joe Rogan's. And David Goggins is this kind of fascinating figure. You caught the little tiny slice of his story there. He had a rough enough upbringing. He was having all these struggles and just decided to start working his way out through working out. And seeing that as a mental process, pretty cool. He's an incredibly inspiring guy now. I'll link in the show notes at regular.fm/43 to some of his stuff. Just type David Goggins into YouTube and dive into that rabbit hole. And I think you'll find plenty of inspiration. He has executed some amazing physical feats. Guinness Book of World Book of or Book of World Records kind of stuff on push-ups and pull-ups. And he wasn't a runner at all and decided he was going to run the some 125 mile an hour Death Valley race or something, but to do that, he had to run a 100-mile race, which he naively assumed was going to take place over a week, and he just went out and did it and became a Navy SEAL and all this kind of stuff. He came up with this thing that a lot of people now have copied. He encouraged people to copy him. He decided he was going to run 4 miles, starting at 8 p.m. on a Friday. He was going to run 4 miles every 4 hours over 48 hours. So 12 four-hour buckets there. And at the start of every four-hour block, he was going to go out and run 4 miles, 48 miles total. You start a Friday at 8 and you finish Sunday at 4. And you're running 4 miles at midnight, 4 miles at 4 in the morning, 4 miles at 8 in the morning. And he did it simply, or at least primarily, because it was uncomfortable. You don't sleep normally. You can't eat normally. It's a very different way of approaching that kind of exercise. It just throws you off. And that's one of his main points, is what our comfort zones, what comfort does to us. And seeking out reasonable ways, legal ways at least, to be uncomfortable. So I did a junior version of this over the weekend. A buddy of mine was doing a version of this on a bike, and I am nowhere near able to run 48 miles in 48 hours. I physically wouldn't be able to pull it off. But I did run, I think I ran almost 28 miles in 48 hours. Instead of running 4 miles every block, I ran about 2.3. And it was a cool experience. I've run two marathons. It's been about a decade almost since I ran the last one of those two. In the years that I ran the Austin Marathon, I also ran this mountain race called the Imogene Pass Run that takes you from Ouray, Colorado, over the Imogene Pass on foot to Telluride. It's 17.1 miles, but they say if you can beat your marathon time, you've done great, because you start at 9,400 feet. I believe, and, or maybe you start at, I can't remember, let's call it 9,400 feet. You run to 13.1, and then you run back down. You run up for 10 miles, and you run down for 7. It was pretty tough. You're above the tree line for quite a bit of this, and but it's beautiful, and a heck of an experience, but of course the air gets very thin. So I've run a couple of marathons before, but it's been a long time. I want to run another one this February here in Austin. Who knows if they'll actually be able to do it in person or if it'll be virtualized, but that's my intent, is to run 26.2 on Valentine's Day coming up. And so I've been running a bit more, and a buddy of mine was going to do this 48-hour thing, so I thought I could just use that distance. And ended up running about 14 and change on Saturday and 11 change on Sunday after the 2.3 at 8 o'clock on Friday evening. And it was cool, and it reminded me a lot of some of the marathon training and marathon race experience, where you have points where it does feel very uncomfortable. It just, you're just not wanting to be out there, not wanting to run, or you're physically in pain or something, but you get a hold of your mind, you compose yourself, and just focus on your stride, maybe, or quit thinking about anything else, but just taking good steps. And it's amazing how that discomfort can clear up, the struggle can recede, or you just fight through it for a while, but it doesn't last forever. So it was interesting. This particular experience, if you go diving down this, if you dive down the rabbit hole and are reading about Goggins, and you ever decide to do something like this, the sleep factor was weird. It was tough to get a handle on. I hadn't trained for this. With the marathon, you part of your training, you're like, you got those gels or whatever. You get used to refueling while you're running, and it's only going to last, a few hours, and you're done. This, it's over 48 hours, and it's just weird. All the cycles of eating and trying to sleep a little bit, and then now you're running and you're not through digesting whatever you ate last time. Like, it's all that weird stuff thrown into the mix. People have posted a lot of videos on YouTube of their run through this challenge, and some of them are just look like elite athletes, like it's no big deal, and they like layer on extra challenges, like I'm going to run every 4 mile set faster than the prior one, stuff like that. But other people too, it's fascinating to watch. Like, you see them hit the wall and really hate it, really struggle. And I just appreciate that in general from David Goggins, the kind of wake up call, as it were, of trucking along in your little bubble, your little comfort zone, and that refreshing dunk in cold water, ice cold water of, hey, how about you get up early? How about you go, like, make a list of things you don't want to do and just knock them out mercilessly. It's really cool stuff. He's a Navy SEAL, or was a Navy SEAL. This guy, Jocko Willink, was a Navy SEAL. They both like to, they're both sort of no nonsense. The way to do it is you do it kind of people. And I appreciate Goggins talking a lot about callousing our minds to rid ourselves of a victim's mentality, and just to go do something almost as an end in itself, and that it sucks, that it produces suffering, is a reason to go do it, so that your mind begins to recognize that that's just simply no big deal. That's the way that it is. And that your discipline is going to overwhelm any of those thoughts, that orientation. What it's not about is turning the dial to make sure you're motivated, and you're going to now, because all these conditions are right and you've done all this design, that is not going to be a pain, that you've designed away the pain, and therefore now you're ready to go do this tough thing. It's sort of the opposite of that. It's like, no, forget all that. Just start doing it. Begin doing it. And then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again, irrespective of how you feel about it, irrespective of how you feel going through it. And get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's really cool. It was fun to do. The same ideas actually can be applied to reading novels or, you know, all kinds of studies. Like, just to set yourself and decide and gun out after some aggressive target until you just go catch it and knock it down. That's inspiring stuff. And I appreciated it. Today I'm not even that sore. I probably will go do a small short run here in the evening and get up and run again in the morning. And it also has me back to wanting to get up early, get up ridiculously early. Get in some great exercise and record and post the day's dispatch while it is still ridiculously early. Hopefully I'll get there very soon and not be doing these things after breakfast, but like way before breakfast. It was really cool to do. The marathon training will continue, and it's got me thinking about the artificial lids we all put on ourselves. The victim mentality obviously is on the march everywhere in the world right now. There's just such a fog of it everywhere. And so clearing all of that away for each of us, it is a major situation that's playing out everywhere. Also too, though, simultaneously, like, there's a lot that we don't talk about and that we don't look at because it's uncomfortable. And it's clearly, obviously, time that we have those uncomfortable conversations, go through that struggle together, have the discipline to get through it and repeat it again and again and again, and each of us individually and all of us together get stronger. It's hopeful. So, you know, lace them up, get out there early. And we'll see what happens next. Thanks, y'all.